now the ultimate power in the universe.
1460 WVOX.
Stay tuned for Building Knowledge with Building and Realty Institute host Jeff Hanley. Mr. Hanley is the Associate Director of BRI, and every Friday morning at 11:30, you'll have the opportunity of learning to build your knowledge about planning, insurance, environmental regulations, and everything you need to know on the local level to build your knowledge. Here now is Jeff Hanley.
Good morning. A happy Friday to all of our listeners. Welcome to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, also known as the BRI, the official radio show of the Building and Realty Institute. I am Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI and your host, and we thank you for joining us. For first-time listeners to our program, we will explain what the BRI is. Our association is a building, realty, and construction industry membership organization. Our organization is composed of more than 1,800 members in 14 counties of New York State. Those members are involved in virtually every sector of the building, realty, and construction industry. The BRI represents our members and the industry on a virtual 24/7 basis. Our guest this morning is Jason Schisciano, co-president of Levitt First Associates Limited, which is the insurance manager of the BRI. Jason, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
You're very welcome. We're glad to have you. Our topic this morning is key issues affecting the building, realty, and construction industry. We have a lot of key issues affecting our industry, as well as the general business sector. So we'll get right into it. Again, Jason, thanks for joining us. Why don't we start with a brief overview, Jason, of what Levitt First Associate is and the services that Levitt First offers our industry as well as members of the BRI.
Sure, Jeff. Levitt First is an insurance broker, so we handle a number of different insurance carriers and represent a number of different insurance carriers, as opposed to an insurance company like a Geico or a State Farm that only sells that type of that single carrier's insurance. And our firm was founded in 1969 by my father-in-law, David Levitt, and his partner, Alan First. We've moved on to the second generation at this point with myself as co-president with my partner, Ken First, who is Alan's son. And we specialize in various types of commercial insurance, primarily construction insurance for contractors and developers, real estate insurance for habitational real estate, condos, co-ops, apartments, office buildings, and other commercial insurance, as well as personal insurance. And we have some other services as well, such as a subsidiary company called Risk Reduction Services, which handles risk transfer documentation management for condos and co-ops and property managers. And we do healthcare and benefits through a joint venture with JDM and Associates. We're based in Tarrytown, New York, and we have 60 people in our office.
Thanks for that explanation, Jason. Excellent summary of a very important component of the Building and Realty Institute and the Builders Institute. Speaking of important components, an important service that members of the BI and BRI have access to is membership in New York State Workers' Compensation Groups 458 and 530. Can you give us a brief overview of Groups 458 and 530 and how very important those groups are to members of the building, realty, and construction industry?
Sure, Jeff. As you mentioned, Levitt First, in addition to being the insurance managers for the BRI, we also are the insurance managers for two workers' compensation safety groups. These safety groups are for one for the construction industry, that's safety group 458,
right,
and the other is for the real estate industry, that's safety group 530. And these safety groups are workers' compensation insurance policy programs that provide low-cost, workers' compensation insurance with no deductible, and they are available within those two industries to New York State businesses. Levitt First, in addition to managing that group and providing the discounted premiums for those policies, also provides service for policyholders, such as providing certificates, helping out with payroll audits, billing assistance, and claims management.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can give you a little bit of information on the two groups if you're interested.
Sure, why not? Absolutely.
Safety Group 458, as I said, is the construction safety group, and that group has about 800 members, about 800 contractors in it, with total insurance premiums for that workers' compensation safety group of $39 million. The group provides discounts up front of up to 20% and dividends for the last 66 years that the group has been in existence, consistently providing dividends. Last year, the dividend was 25% for that group. Also, as I mentioned, Safety Group 530 provides discounted workers' compensation for real estate operations. So that would be like condominium associations that have a building superintendent, or a co-op that has a building superintendent, any other types of exposures or operations involving staff that works at condos, co-ops, apartment buildings, or commercial buildings. Safety Group 530 has 500 members, $6 million in premium, also provides a 20% maximum upfront discount and a 20% dividend for the last 27 years. We've consistently provided dividends.
Right. Both of those entities are very important to the members of the Building and Realty Institute, and any member of the building, realty, or construction industry seeking further information can call the BRI at 914-273-0730, or, of course, Levitt First Associates at 914-457-4200. Thank you for that summary, Jason.
Certainly.
As Jason, as you know, as our listeners know, the Building and Realty Institute is composed of two main sectors, a construction and building side and a realty management and investment side. Let's start with the building and construction side. What are the key insurance issues facing a builder, a developer, a contractor, a remodeler? I know there are many, and that's a tall order to ask you to review them, but maybe you can just briefly touch upon, please, the three or four key issues that are facing, again, a builder, contractor, remodeler.
Yeah, I would think that the single largest issue for any one of those three businesses, a builder, a contractor, a developer, or a remodeler as well, would have to center around the ongoing issues with the 100-year-old New York scaffold law.
Mm-hmm.
That's New York State Labor Law 240-241. But if you Google scaffold law, New York scaffold law, you'll get everything you need to know. It is a tremendously burdensome law that was put forth back around 1900 prior to the existence of workers' compensation. And basically, the law allowed workers that were injured, in particular, from a fall from heights, like from a fall from scaffolding, and that's his namesake, allowed workers to sue the building owner and the property owner, and that building owner would have absolute liability to that injured worker for the injury. Subsequent to that time, New York and every other state developed New York workers' compensation insurance, which provided, obviously, compensation for any injured worker when they get injured in a workplace accident. All other states, in fact, in the United States, have since done away with their equivalent of the New York scaffold law and have only provided workers' compensation insurance, and should the injured worker choose to sue the building owner, liability would be apportioned based on the worker's portion of liability or the building owner's portion of liability and negligence. In New York State, that's not the case. The law remained. It's absolute liability for the building owner, And in very summary terms, all that's done is hugely drive up insurance premiums for contractors and developers and remodelers as well. Anyone that's doing work, in particular work from heights within buildings of a construction nature.
Just for the record, as Jason knows and as many members of the BRI knows, the BRI has joined with other affiliated organizations of our types in this area to combat 240, 241, another name for the scaffold law, and we are continuing to monitor efforts to have that law repealed because, as Jason so beautifully explained, that is a tremendously negative law to the industry and to the general business sector in general. And as Jason again explained so perfectly, New York State is the only state in the entire United States that still has that law.
And the reason why that's affected contractors and developers and remodelers is because of the extremely high payouts that insurance company have to pay for liability associated with these types of injuries. Because of those payouts and the liberalization of the law by certain judges in the New York City area, most insurance companies have decided that it is not worth it to offer to insure contractors and developers, et cetera, in New York. There's too much risk of a high payout relative to the premium that they collect from these insureds. So they just, you know, most companies say, we're not going to do construction insurance in New York State. We'll do it in Connecticut. We'll do it in New Jersey, but not for contractors that are doing work in New York State. So that lack of competition obviously drives up premiums, and the high settlements and judgments in these cases drive up premiums.
And of course, in the big picture, that is a tremendously negative condition for the overall economy of our state.
It certainly adds cost to development of properties, and then it just flows downhill, because if the development is more expensive to develop, then obviously the owner has to get higher rents in order to justify the cost of development. So that affects small tenants, whether they be commercial or landlords, or the cost of a co-op unit or a condo unit, et cetera. It affects everything, literally everything.
No question about it. You're listening to Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute, the official radio program of the BRI. I am your host, Jeff Hanley, Associate Executive Director of the BRI. We thank you for joining us. Our guest this morning is Jason Schisciano, President of Levitt First Associates, Insurance Manager for the BRI and all of its component organizations. Jason, as I touched upon earlier in the broadcast, the BRI has two sides to it, a building and construction sector and a realty sector. If I am moving to the realty sector, if I am a co-op board of directors, or if I am a condo board of directors, or an owner of a rental apartment building or complex, regarding insurance issues, what should I be concerned with right now? What am I focusing on right now? What do I have concerns with?
Well, I guess just as a segue from the construction and development side into the real estate side, apartment owners, condos, co-ops, I'll say that all of these types of buildings, condos, co-ops, apartment buildings, have contractors coming onto their properties in performing work, whether it be landscaping or window washing or brick pointing or painting
or
roofing,
right,
et cetera. So there's a couple of factors that building owners, condos, co-ops, apartment owners need to be aware of when they hire these contractors, is that many of these contractors have exclusions in their liability policies that exclude protection for the condo or the co-op or the apartment owner, exclude protection for that building owner when one of those contractors' employees gets injured at their location. So when the condo or co-op thinks that they're in good shape and protected because they're named an additional insured on the contractor's policy, if the contractor's policy has a exclusion hidden in it for this type of labor law claim, there isn't going to be any protection anyway. So it really gets very difficult for a condo co-op or apartment owner to properly protect themselves when contractors come onto their property, and they need to be aware of those risks. A couple of other factors for condos, co-ops, landlords, and the property managers as well need to be aware of. Probably the fastest growing segment of the insurance industry right now is cyber liability. We every week now it seems like we hear something in the news about a company or a group of companies or an entire industry being hacked, data being personally identifiable information, names, addresses, phone numbers, credit cards, bank accounts, routing numbers being stolen electronically, or computers being held for ransom, as was the case most recently with this gigantic ransom software that was put out, virus that was put out.
Right.
So there's a new segment of the insurance industry that's developed in the last few years called cyber liability insurance. How this relates to apartment owners, condos, co-ops, apartment owners obviously have a tremendous wealth of information on their tenants. Everything I just mentioned, from names and addresses to, you know, bank account numbers if they're doing automatic withdrawals, credit cards possibly. Co-ops, for instance, their boards are passing around personal information on prospective shareholders. So there's a lot of liability associated with sharing this information, passing it around, and storing it. And the cyber liability policy helps protect against the liability and expense and cost associated with in a case where that information gets out.
Last June, Jason was one of our panel members at a membership meeting of our Cooperative and Condominium Advisory Council, which is composed of boards of directors of co-ops and condos. And the issues that Jason just addressed were examined intensely. And it was a very well-attended meeting and a very informative meeting. If you had to advise property managers of a co-op, a condo, or even an owner of a rental building and apartment complex on what to watch for regarding cyber liability, what would your four or five top bullet points be, Jason? What are the things they must absolutely be careful of now with this new threat, which, as you said, it just grows every week. It's growing every day, and it's something to be watched at.
Well, from a claim avoidance standpoint, property managers and the boards that they work with need to be cognizant of the fact that they need to take common sense steps to protect personally identifiable information from being released or stolen or hacked. So certainly you need to have appropriate virus software and the most updated version of that software on all of the computers that are handling that type of information. Board members need to be aware of the risk with emailing this type of information. And how many times have you or I or anyone else accidentally sent some information that may have been classified or personal or what have you to someone you didn't expect to send it to? It happens all the time.
Right.
Also, data encryption measures, so that the data is electronically scrambled, if you will, as it passes back and forth between email recipients is critical. But then again, in the end, you can't do anything to protect yourself 100%, which is why the insurance is important. And then I would say that is this cyber liability insurance is a new realm of insurance. The policies are very complicated, and they differ significantly from one carrier to another. So you need, as a property manager or board, to look for a policy that will cover both first-party expenses associated with cyber liability. Those are things like the cost to recoup your files if they're corrupted, the expense of possibly having to pay for a ransom to get your data back, the cost of rebuilding your databases if they're destroyed, as well as the cost of having to notify all of the the people whose personally identifiable information has been compromised to notify them by mail and to offer to monitor their credit for a period of time. These are all requirements. Those are all first-party costs that an insurance policy can cover. And then there are third-party costs, legal liability. If you're sued by somebody, for instance, whose data has been compromised and maybe as a result they've had to quit their job to try to rebuild their reputation, and maybe they lost their house because somebody opened up a mortgage in their name and they didn't know about it. All of that relates to liability. So a good policy will cover both first-party and third-party coverages.
The general summation that came out of that membership meeting of our co-op and condo council was the following. When it comes to key policy issues in a co-op or a condo, and this does apply also to owners of rental apartment buildings and complexes, when it comes to key issues involving tenants, shareholders, property managers, it's best to be very, very careful about email communications. You remember we stressed that. And we also had a speaker involving applications, prospective shareholders for co-ops and prospective owners for condos. It's best to be very careful about that type of information for a prospective buyer. So I guess, generally speaking, the best thing to live by is be careful, follow the advice of your insurance representative, and follow the advice of your property manager. I guess that's a good summation. Jason, would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. In terms of the general insurance business sector, Jason, what should a business owner be looking for now and in the weeks ahead? Where are the potential trouble areas? What are the things that that business owner needs to continue to focus on?
I think the one rule that applies to business in general is to know your insurance policy. Most business owners, their job is to do their business. If they're a contractor, their job is to build things. If they're a landlord, their job is to run their apartment buildings. If you're a developer, you're obviously tasked with developing property. All of these types of businesses generally, they all require insurance. The problem is they go out, they shop for insurance oftentimes much like they'd shop for anything else, which is, you know, insurance is something that I hate to spend money on. I hate writing that check, but I have to have it to get my permits or run my business. So, you know, how can I get it? How can I get it quickly and least expensively? And unfortunately, insurance is one of those things that you probably don't want the least cost option. Because an insurance policy is highly complex, it's hundreds of pages long, and parts of those hundreds of pages are exclusions. And if you've got an insurance policy that is less expensive or significantly less expensive than the other options that you're considering, there's a reason for it. And most likely it's because it covers less than what the other policies, the more expensive policies, cover. You need to be aware of the exclusions in your policy, and that starts with having a broker that's going to take the time to put a meeting together, to go over, whether it's on the phone or in person, and go over the details of your insurance policy and answer your questions so that you're fully informed and you know not only what you're covered for, but also what you're not covered for. I think that applies to any business.
Many years ago, someone who I used to have an affiliation with at the Building and Realty Institute would always preach, let the professional be the professional. So when it comes to the insurance needs of your business, again, Jason, I think you would agree with this, let the professional be the professional. Be in constant contact with your insurance representative because they are the professionals and they know what to look for and what's ahead. Speaking of what's ahead, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to ask this question quickly because it is an important question to owners of local businesses. Healthcare. Do you see healthcare expenses continue to rise over the next few years? I guess the answer is yes, but my question would be, how significant will those expenses increase in the months ahead.
Yeah, I mean, what our joint venture partners at JDM, who provide our healthcare benefits, have told us is that, you know, in the short term, which is what you're referencing, unfortunately, because of all the uncertainty, expenses are going to go up. Insurance companies really don't know what the future holds, so their only hedge against that is to increase premiums as much as they can get approval for. I would expect that on average you'll continue to see in the next year to 2 years healthcare premiums going up 10 to 20%. There are some outliers where it's less than 10%, but more the norm is more typically in the 10 to 20% range, and some considerably higher depending on the plan.
One other quick question. We have a little bit more time. You look outside, you see rain, you see clouds. We're heading into the negative weather season, meaning hurricane, tropical storm. A co-op board, a condo board, a property manager, an owner of an apartment building or complex should have the appropriate insurance in place at this time. I know you agree with that as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. If they don't have those proper insurances in place, they should contact their insurance person ASAP, because you do not want to be caught in a negative situation. Jason, co-president of Levitt First Associates, insurance manager for the Building and Realty Institute, many thanks for joining us on Building Knowledge with the BRI. Great job by Jason. Again, many thanks. We thank you for listening. We wish you all a great Friday, and we hope you join us next week at 11:30 a.m. here on 1460 a.m. WVOX for another segment of Building Knowledge with the Building and Realty Institute. Have a great day.